Now entering Nerdist.com. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Proceed, Jacqueline.
Wow, you chipper. A chipper, Kilmartin. And a top of the morning to you. And so I brought you a video, by the way, that
oh
I
my
forgot
God.
To hand you.
I hope it's a VHS tape, please.
It's a VHS tape of my stand-up. No, it's, and I want it back.
What's
so
this?
It's to lend you for the boy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is children.
Lassie, Flipper, Mr. Limpet, and National Velvet. Oh, Elizabeth Taylor.
National Velvet.
Whoa.
Yep. That was sent to me by a Dork Forest fan, so that's neat.
And, this is awesome.
Yeah. Flipper's my favorite.
And you said it was a gift. Thank you so much. Thank
you. It is not a gift, but ladies and gentlemen.
I was trying to
It is recorded that I would like my fucking tape.
I was trying to find Island of the Blue Dolphins.
Yeah.
And that you have to buy. You have to buy. It doesn't stream. You have to get the VHS tape or a DVD.
A DVD, yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised.
Yeah, that is weird because almost everything's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to be. I did an ad for Crashing.
Yeah.
With Pete Holmes, Moshe Kasher, Ian Edwards, Beth Stelling.
Cool.
And what it was, and Henry Phillips directed it.
Yeah.
Professional hair and makeup.
Wait, you did an ad or you were part of the show?
No, it's just an ad for the show.
Okay.
It was essentially.
So it's like a trailer that HBO is going to run?
Yeah. Yeah. And what they
You're
wanted.
You're HBO's girl this year, man.
Twice. February. All about Jackie Cation.
It's in February?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because it should be before the end of the month that the ads keep running. Because I think the new season of Crashing starts at the end of January.
He just was on Conan, so it's got to be coming up soon.
Yeah, yeah. And we it's essentially this podcast.
Yeah.
We spent an hour and a half telling essentially green room stories, road stories.
Oh.
And they're going to cut them into 5 30-second chunks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So like my long heckler story got cut down to 4 sentences. And I was like, okay, Henry, here we go. And so I don't know.
That's cool for all you guys and Henry Phillips too, man.
Yeah, it was really great.
He directed
Before? I think he directed Punching the Clown for sure.
Right.
But he's such a good guy. So it was
cool.
It was really nice.
Right on, man.
And whenever anybody said anything weird, I got to lock eyes with Beth Stelling. And there's never been another woman in the room that I could lock eyes with. So I was like, yay! He just said something weird. Look.
Yeah,
it's always
a relief to have that. Sometimes I was in a green room where there was too many comics and we had no place else to go. We were sort of stuck there because of the arrangement of the place, and it was like too much comedy. I shut down at that point.
Well, there was
too much riffing, and I like my quiet time.
I do like your do you like your quiet time?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other thing is sometimes. Low-hanging fruit
mm-hmm.
is just too easy, right? I went out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say too tasty, because that's my kind of fruit.
The low-hanging fruit?
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
It's right there, Jackie. You don't have to reach or stretch or write. It's right there.
It is. You don't have to write. So I'm telling this story to Ian and Moshe at lunch afterwards, mm-hmm. and it's a story about the first male comic I worked with who didn't cheat on his wife.
And how many years into the business were you before you met
this guy? I was 4 years into the road.
Got it.
And that I was working with this guy, Fred. And he's a really funny comic, Fred Klett. He probably does cruise ships now. And,
is he short?
He wasn't that tall, but he was kind
of
handsome.
Okay,
and he was super clean, and he was really smart and funny. I really liked him. And he was the first guy I'd ever worked with. It was like 94, I think. And and I've been doing the road for like 3 or 4 years at this point. And so he... So I'm talking to Hollywood on the phone.
You were talking to Hollywood on the phone?
Right, someone in Hollywood, right?
Sure.
And so I tell Ian and Moshe this story, and I started out with that it was a guy who didn't cheat on his wife. Both of them start peppering me with, This is a man we're talking, right? This is an adult man. And there's a guy who could do this, right? What kind of guy is that?
They don't believe this guy exists.
Right. They're essentially just peppering me with that bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And I tell the story about how I'm talking to, in 1994, to a guy in Hollywood. And he's like, who are you working with? I tell him he's really funny. And then I mention that he's the first guy that doesn't cheat on his wife. And he goes, what a pussy. And that man was Dave Becky. 1995. And
well,
then
that is very interesting.
Right. So then there's a pause.
Oh,
and
my
then,
goodness.
This is what I like about Moshe Kasher. There's a pause, and Moshe Kasher says, We just did that joke too. And I said, yeah, you did. You guys got 20 years here. How about writing a new fucking joke about, instead of saying that the guy's a pussy, you just go, oh, cool.
Oh, well.
Instead of saying that the guy's, you know, he's not, that's a real man who doesn't cheat on his wife.
They were doing 20-year-old Dave Becky jokes.
They were doing 20-year-old Dave Becky jokes.
And Dave Becky's not a stand-up.
And Dave Becky. Yeah.
You're hacking someone who's not a comic.
Exactly. So, but it was such a weird, yeah.
Mm. Did you read, there were so many takes on the Aziz Ansari.
So many takes.
It was,
And they keep coming.
But the Atlantic, they keep, like, the Times will do a shitty one, and then they do a great one, and the Atlantic did the same thing. The Times did this one, and it wasn't shitty. It was just, like, it's so generational, the response. Like, the older women, Caitlin Flanagan at the Atlantic and Barry Weiss at the New York Times,
get up and leave.
Yeah. You know,
it's you were never 23 years old. Shut the fuck up.
I know. And then like today, Lindy West had a really great one for the
Lindy
Times.
Lindy West was pretty great.
And Megan Gans had a great one for the Atlantic. Well, we'll mention her later too. But Eliza Skinner wrote a really great one on Tumblr.
Oh, really?
That was just.
I want to see that.
That was striking in that she was talking about many things, but the thing that stuck out for me was that she pointed out that, like, Harvey Weinstein and Louis C.K. and all that, we had journalists doing months and months of work, and with the same with James Franco, collecting lots of data, verifying stories, double-checking, triple-checking, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one person's account of a date. And it's being given the same weight as these incredibly in-depth investigations.
Right. James Franco, by the way, still cashing checks. Nobody cares about James Franco. He didn't lose anything, did he?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, he might have lost his Oscar if he was on track to win an Oscar Disaster Artist.
Maybe.
But I think
but he's still working.
Everything he did was creepy, but it again, I didn't completely read all the allegations. I am getting allegations fatigue. And especially when it's not, it was just like shitty.
I read his thing.
Yeah.
And I read Eliza Dushku.
Oh, yes. Right, right, right.
Was the 12-year-old with the stunt coordinator.
Right.
That was just foul.
I didn't
that was
read
insane.
That. I felt like the headline was enough, but what happened?
It was essentially he told her parents that she had to spend a lot of days with him just to learn how to do stuff. Took her to a hotel room, closed the curtains, pulled his dick out, started had her in his lap and all. She was 12.
Jesus.
And she told her parents, and they were like, "Well, it's the business." Yeah, and they didn't believe her.
They didn't believe her, or they believed her and said it, that's the business?
They both. And then I think her dad killed himself?
No, you're confusing
her. I'm confusing her with the other one.
With the gymnast.
No, the gymnast was the one you posted. That was the second one. Her dad didn't kill himself. Her parents, they didn't believe her, I don't think. And then he's still working to this day. He might have
not anymore.
Right. I think he's been let go at this time.
At the age of 70, he's being run out of the business.
And then the Franco thing was that it was just like dozens of women that he would be like, "Well, you have to do this without your shirt on. You have to do this without your shirt on." And then women who said no, he would storm off in a fucking baby boy huff. And it was that. And it was like, "I'm going to give you $100. And it was this whole, I mean, he's always just seemed
guilds
foul
have to get
me.
Involved in this shit. The actor, SAG and the Actors Guild have to be more involved in how people audition, how women are auditioning and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll do stuff like that because you...
You want work.
You want work. And...
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
You're buzzing.
It's me buzzing.
Is that Dave Becky going?
It's Dave Becky calling me. It might be.
But Aziz, it's fascinating. You know, I don't
because it is just one. It was just one article, right?
That right.
Woman, this is an account of a shitty date I had with Aziz Ansari.
Right. But the points made of coercion being part of the big problem, mm-hmm. and women being taught that. You know, everyone's been socialized improperly,
everyone
including
has,
you and me. I mean,
completely.
So, God, it's and then
it's, we all have to go forward and learn to use power correctly going forward.
Right.
Yes.
And then Barbara Kingsolver, who's a novelist, she wrote a great piece for The Guardian today about how women just now we have to really get angry. It's like it's just the beginning.
Right,
of
because
Me Too. It's just the beginning. There's so many layers
right.
of conditioning and so many layers of.
And if they can use this, what I saw was Bree Newsom. Do you mm-hmm. know Bree Newsom?
Yes, the woman who took
who
flag
climbed
down.
Up the
yeah,
flag.
Right.
So she tweeted an amazing.
The Confederate flag.
The Confederate flag
South
down in
Carolina?
The South.
Yeah.
And she had a great comment. She was like, and now I've spaced it. Fuck. It was essentially. She was talking about how this was one article, and people are using it. Oh, I know. People are using it to beat the Me Too mm-hmm. women back into submission. Essentially,
it's not going to work.
Well, I hope it doesn't work the thing is it's hard to put it back in the box.
No, it's just starting.
Yeah, I hope so.
It is weird though when it's a stand up that you know.
Yeah,
you know, like it's. You know, it was strange with Louis, but you'd heard stuff. And then when it all came out, it's like.
But T.J. Miller, I didn't know anything about T.J. Miller.
I didn't either. Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about Aziz. I mean, the thing about Aziz is that he is, I don't know how he is with you, but he's never been more than distantly polite to me. So God love him. That is all that's all I ask of anybody who's super successful, by the way. Please.
Well, I remember I think I might have been one of the first people that brought him up on stage because I was hosting bringer shows at the Cellar in, 2003, 2004, something like that, 2003.
Right.
And he was just like a Cellar kid, you know, and he was a bringer comic and he had people in the audience and mm-hmm. he did a rap song and it was, you know, got a good response and he was very charismatic on stage.
Yeah.
So I knew him like from then and then from back in that time in his creative career. It's just so. And then when you know someone, then you read their sex habits. It's like, oh, I don't want to.
Right. Nobody should read about
that's
mine either.
I don't want to. Yeah. I mean, you can hear me talk about them because I'm lying. Right. But don't get to know the actual shit I want done to me. But it's also like I've noticed when comics have the lead in any sort of. Narrative and they have a kissing scene. I'm like, oh my God, no, I don't want to see you do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. And I don't know.
What?
So, I've been in many green rooms though in the mm-hmm. last week. And, you know, I did Marcella mm-hmm. Arguello's.
You did Women Crush Wednesday tonight.
Women Crush Wednesday tonight. And super fun.
How sold? So, was it sold out?
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely
same with last week's. Yeah.
And monster sets by people.
Wow.
Hilarious sets.
Yeah.
Danielle Porter.
Yeah.
Destroyed. I'm forgetting names. Doesn't matter. Everybody
you said
killed.
Nicole Byer.
Nicole Byer destroyed. I came in because I thought I was next, but Aparna was next.
Oh, man.
So I missed Nicole's set.
Yeah.
And then.
It's fucking Monsters of Rock on this show tonight.
It was outstanding. And so I was talking to a comic and he said, I got to ask you this thing. It might be offensive. Uh-huh. It might offend. And I said, well, then why?
Yeah.
And he goes, well,
you don't want to know more than ever now?
Well, that's what he thought, clearly, because he asked anyway. He said, so you're doing Marcella's show on Wednesday. And I said, yeah. And he goes, do you think, and this is going to sound awful. And I said, what? He goes, do you think it's sustainable? Are there enough women?
Oh, my God.
And I looked
up
and I was
God.
Like, oh, my God, there's enough women.
Yeah.
Because I know there's There's 100 women on the list of.
Do you guys not know that this city and this country is teeming with female comics
who want stage time
and who have a couple, at least 5 murderous minutes and maybe up to an hour?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not getting enough stage time.
And it was funny because Marcella was like, hey, you know who I don't have? I don't have like Kira and Runtowski and Kathy Ladman's email addresses. And I was like, well, I can at least introduce you to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was this fuck who I have been saying for 10 years. Nicest guy in the world. Super woke. And yet not.
No one's, I don't know.
And you're like, but the thing is, do you think it's sustainable? And I said, it's as sustainable as the new Negro show. It turns out there's plenty of black comics who are also not getting any stage time, who, black comics, no other black comics. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
There's so many comics.
But it's also.
And they're all great.
It's also like, hey, you know what? That's not your worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Doesn't have anything to do with you.
We all have our own yards to tend to. Why are you trying to weed Marcella's garden? She'll fucking figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Keep your eyes on your own paper there. Yeah. Jesus. Anyway, so fucking unicorns. That's what they think. They think that they're unicorns. Women are unicorns. People of color are unicorns. They aren't.
I had a set at a club. Give me that paper. I don't want to ding the club because it happens. There's
every
no one
got
in
it.
The audience.
Oh, right.
Okay. And some really good comics on the show and almost zero people in the audience. And the few that were there were deadly silent. And so
sometimes it happens.
And there's no saving it. Because you can't have comic after comic after comic commenting on the silence. It just starts, whatever's there is
not
crushed.
That's it.
And yet when you're on stage, you're like,
tempted.
I must talk about this. This is horrific. So a nuclear bomb's been dropped on me and I'm not allowed to mention it because the other comic mentioned it first.
Yeah, you aren't. I mean, it's not going to help your set,
it
right?
It hurt. And I, out of respect, I left right after my set to not watch the next headliner. I was like, I like you and I know you're better than this. I don't want to see what this is going to do to you.
And you didn't want to sit in the back and just laugh at them?
No.
Come on.
It wasn't that. It's one thing if someone's bombing in front of a full house.
Right.
That, of course, you call your friends and neighbors and you're like, don't give them the light. Make them go on.
Stretch.
Yes. But when there's no one there and there's no chance, it just, you're like, oh, this hurts stand-up comedy.
Right.
It,
this isn't helping
it hurts
anyone.
On every level.
That's true. It's the worst is this place is over and over again. It's just
one.
Set up wrong, which just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going, this is going to come out. I'm going to be in New York. I'm doing Aparna's show and I'm doing Jeremy's show.
Cool.
On that Monday, the Monday this drops.
Yeah.
It'll be Littlefield in Brooklyn, and then Whiplash at UCB in their new spot in New York. Have you been there yet?
No, I haven't.
No,
so you're Whiplash
moved.
Is Sunday? Or it's Monday. It's Monday.
Yeah. Sunday I'm doing Bethlehem, so that'll be over when this goes.
Oh, cool. I will be leaving. Oh, I'll be back in LA. I'm going to New York this weekend.
Right. You'll be there.
Tomorrow night, I'm flying first class on JetBlue.
That's right, you are.
Or Mint, whatever, Mint.
Mint.
All I know is I can lay down.
I wonder if you'll get a Mint. They'll probably give you a Mint.
Oh, is that bringing the Delta humor to JetBlue?
That's what I'm all about. I'm flying out Friday as well, but I'm going to...
Where are you flying into?
Governors.
Are you flying into JFK?
Yeah.
What time are you getting in?
I don't know. I think midday.
On Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting in like really early in the morning.
Right, because you're taking a red eye. I'm renting a car and then driving out to Long Island.
You're renting a car from JFK?
Yeah.
Isn't it cheaper to rent it in the city? In Long Island? Like
it's
take a
nickel.
Cab?
It's $100 for the whole weekend.
What? How do you get... What?
I don't know. I Priceline'd it. It was...
I'm renting a car on the 14th, on February 14th. It's $200 for one night to drive to a $400 gig in Connecticut.
Oh my God.
Am I
can you cancel it?
Because yes.
I can definitely help you find
please,
a cheaper
please.
Car than
but
that.
But I have to be able to pick it up in Manhattan.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. There's got to be, you might have to go to an airport. That's the thing.
No, I can't go to, that's $60 to an airport
well,
to pick
see,
up a car to save $60.
Right. Right. So that's, I mean, it's, I'm flying into JFK. The weird thing is on when I come back on Monday, I have to drop it off at JFK. And then from JFK, I have to go to my hotel in Midtown.
Huh.
So that'll be an extra $60, I assume.
All right.
So, and then I'm Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm in New York, just in the city.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, I go to Boston because Friday show with Maria in Boston and Saturday in New Haven, Connecticut.
Awesome.
Should be fun.
I will be in town that week, the 26th, 27th, that weekend. I'll be
back in New York?
Floating around Los Angeles.
Oh, you'll be back here, right? Yeah.
But
we're going to meet at your house, your apartment, that
on
Sunday morning, and crank out one of these.
Yeah. That's our commitment to you people.
That's us meeting you.
Us getting no advertising money.
Well, do you want to?
I want a Blue Apron.
Blue Apron?
I get hungry.
Oh, you want the free Blue
I'm
Apron?
I'm tired of porn cereal for all my meals. So is my family.
They're going to advertise on Dork Forest.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I have a couple of new advertisers that are supposedly happening. I don't know a lot about it, and I don't want to. I don't want to, because you gotta record it. It's 30 seconds, and then it's got to run mid-roll. So it's got to run like 12 minutes
Marin,
into it.
It's seamless.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you know he's doing an ad, but it's like over before you can fast forward through it.
Is he do it at the beginning of the show? Or
no, he pops them in. He'll tell a story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he does a start and a mid?
Yeah.
Okay.
People understand, you know?
Yeah. They're ads. Know. Yeah.
So, you know, so I have a new, like, the publishing situation of my book. Okay. I called.
To talk to them?
The new person. Very nice. And before I finish or tell this whole story, let me just say, I can put myself in the shoes of somebody who's all of a sudden, his workload has been doubled.
Yeah.
Who all of a sudden has to be in charge of 25 books that they hadn't heard of before. And now, you know, that's all happening. And you're in an office where you get emailed and dinged every 15 seconds. So you don't even have time to yourself.
Yeah.
I totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no animosity.
Right.
But I did
you
say...
You are sympathetic.
Yes. I did say, so have you read my book and heard the phrase, I have not.
Right.
And then my stomach dropped.
Because all they're supposed to do is read books, right?
I mean, I'm sure they will. I know they will. But it's, you know, it's coming out in 3 weeks.
Right.
And I need people to be on board. I
mean, right.
But I don't want to get mad.
What is the new person supposed to do, though? Besides,
I don't know. It's so murky right now. Like, the people from Rodale are staying on in part of the transition. I mean, I've been in this and witnessed it where, and it's awful to, you know, you're letting people go, but they still have to do their jobs.
Right.
You know, and that's
shitty. Talk about
shitty.
Senior whatever.
It's super shitty, you know, and they're still doing it and they're still very nice and upbeat and everything. And then you got to hand it off in the middle of a launch. It's worrisome. That's all.
Yeah. I wonder, though, I mean, isn't the die cast at this point?
I don't know. I don't know what I
don't know anything about publishing. You know more and you
and
don't
know
enough.
Very little.
So, OK.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah.
But I think it just feels like I'm like between this and CISO going down and my special is caught in a spider web.
Some
I'm
sort
like,
of limbo.
It just seems like I'm a jinx in some way.
No, I think you're, you know, come on. I think that it's going to come out and everyone's going to love it. But I don't know, like, that's the whole thing about books that comics write.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to lump you in a pile of books that comics write.
Right.
But it's, I never know what people, I mean, you want it to be a big deal. But is it going to be optioned?
No. It's not a memoir. It's just a very – it's essays about death, cancer, and grief, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's very targeted. And
right.
It's a little timeless. I mean, everyone's going to lose somebody.
Right.
So there's always a time to read it.
Yep.
But, you know, like Shitty Mom at Mother's Day, there's always a big push. And then, you know, it's just – then it's back to normal.
Yeah.
God, I don't know.
Yeah. But it was a lot of work. And it's weird that they transitioned to a whole new freaking team when just, you're trying to...
The timing is, terrible. You know, not great.
Yeah. How about March? How about March you do it? Do they... I wonder if there's a time when a lot of books come out. Like, do a lot of books come out first of it? Like, are there 25 books that this guy was supposed to have read that are all coming out in 3 weeks?
Lady.
Lady? Sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, what if it's staggered or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
And I don't want to be mad because people are losing their jobs.
Yeah.
And that these new people are taking on more work.
Right. So you're sympathetic, but it's hard to be supportive.
But I'm just frustrated, for sure.
Because you're frustrated. Yeah, that sucks. My sister has an idea for this book, and then she made this Google document,
mm-hmm.
and then she hasn't looked at it since. Because she has 2 children and a full-time job, and none of those jobs are writing a book with me. So,
she wants to write a book with you?
Yeah.
Oh.
About the advice our father has given us.
Oh, cool.
Sales advice.
I think that's actually a really great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's in the name of our father, I think is what she wanted to call it.
She'll never be able to call it what she wants to call it. Publishers change
we'll
the names
change
of your title.
Title
yeah.
of it at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
My book is titled perfectly so that somebody doesn't like it, they can go, "Dead people suck, and so does this book."
Oh, my God. That's going to be a great review. You
Thank
can look
you.
Forward to that.
Yeah,
that'll be fantastic.
I'm excited.
If you're lucky, it'll be in the Atlantic. "Dead people suck, and so does this book." 5 stars. So people could get it pre-ordered, though, right? They can pre-order it, and they can review it on Amazon even before they've read it.
No, you can't.
Oh, you can't? Not allowed?
No, it's no.
It's not available yet.
Right.
To review.
You're not helping right now.
No, I'm stopping. I'm stopping now. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so in my head. I don't know.
About what?
Well, I had a good set. That's good.
Any new shit work?
The Gift of the Magi worked, but I can't
tell.
Can't tell.
Why? Because the crowd's too good?
Yeah, crowd's too good. But I did tag it up with some pocket watch.
Are you
watch
explaining it
talk.
More?
Yeah, I've tagged it up with the pocket.
Good.
And then I just sit on it for a sec and it popped again.
So you have to explain it and it sort of doesn't get a laugh while you have to.
The setup is kind of funny.
Lay a lot of pipe,
As they say. And then, and it's a sex joke, so I'm laying a lot of pipe, you guys.
But you're getting a good return on that because it's a sex joke.
Right. So the setup about sex makes the 11-year-old and every one of us giggle. So they're giggling
along. Let me tell
you
something. 11-year-olds don't giggle at sex. They're disgusted by it. Go up a couple years. I don't know when you were molested, but the rest of us weren't molested till we were teenagers.
Oh my God, I thought you were talking about the boy. Because I was like, I was going to say, he probably giggles about sex with his friends or parts. He probably giggles about parts.
Butts. Oh, yeah, butts. Yeah, that's a boy thing. Butts
right.
and farts and
it's a
balls
child
and
thing.
Penises.
Yeah,
but they don't go to sex in their head.
No, at all. And you know what? Good.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, please. Feel free to wait till college, everybody, with your drugs and your sex. Aunt Jackie.
Okay, so
wrap it up.
Go back to your joke. It worked?
It worked. The set worked.
But you don't trust it?
I don't.
Is that the first time you've done all those tags?
Yeah. First time I did all the tags, I recorded it, so I'll get to listen to it. And
if you do listen to it.
If I do listen to it.
Let's be honest.
Let's be honest, probably not.
Yes,
and
you will.
I'm kind of... No, I'll probably... I can listen to it on the way home from here. What the hell? And then tomorrow I'm doing... But this will be over. I'm doing Sumac... Tolgalker?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sumac, I'm so sorry. How to pronounce your last name. But he's got a new Silver Lake gig, or Highland Park, rather.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm doing that tomorrow. I'm going to run it again. And then I'm doing a Parnas Littlefield thing on Monday. So
that's fun.
Should be fun.
Are you getting a tape together?
For something? No.
Yeah.
No.
For what about that late night show over there?
Nobody. I didn't get anything. I sent them a transcript of what the set that he liked. He wanted to see it written out.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote it out.
Mm-hmm.
No news. And granted, it's the 3rd week of January, so he's probably playing catch up from the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But if he liked it, he would have responded in the first couple of weeks, I think. And then the other East Coast late night show hasn't gotten back to me in 8 months. So I could probably ping her again. So who knows? But yeah, I want to do television again.
Yeah.
I want to have a career. It turns out my career is fine.
Yeah. But do you have someone that could talk to the dude?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my you know, I TJ's been repping me for PA stuff, and his assistant is this guy Grant, really good guy. And he wanted to come to the show tonight, so I got him on the list with his buddy. He comes back right before the show and says, "Hey, they called me back into work. I got to go. I can't stay for the show. I'm so sorry, but I wanted you to know that I came." Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, he's a agent assistant. I'm sure there's 90 hours a week where he's constantly running around. And
is there a sexual harasser he has to cover for?
Or just someone dropped their wallet. Who knows? I mean, you know how like they're constantly at the beck and call of fancier
clients and stuff like that.
Fancier clients. And but all I did was I spent like a minute spinning. Not even a minute. Like 30 seconds going, "Oh, maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he didn't want to see my set." And you're like, "What is happening? Where? Why? What's shush? Hush. Hush, Jackie. Hush."
Who doesn't love good comedy, man?
Right. And it's an amazing show tonight.
Yeah.
Even if he was over me, even though he when I talked to him, he was like, "Can I get comps or can you get me on the list?" And I said, "Of course." He might have and not wanted to, and then the last minute was like, "No, I don't want to see her." Even then, when he saw that Aparna was on the show, he would have
stayed.
You would have stayed. Marcella, you know? Nicole Byer, you know? Danielle Porter. Asako.
Well, I changed a word on a joke, and I think it's better. I changed it from trying to hoping.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of, because I had the word try in the
earlier
setup.
Yeah.
And so even though they have different meanings, it's still, you know, the same sound.
Yeah.
So that it's worked a little better twice.
Nice.
I don't want to jinx it.
Right. Are you going to Haiti with Conan?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I'm going to New York.
You're going to New York.
Oh, with, so you.
With me. That's right. You're going to see me in New York. Hey, I think we're at a half hour.
You are.
Oh, let's do comedy of the week.
It feels like we're at 4 hours. Can I be honest? I'm tired.
But Eliza Skinner, comic of the week.
Yes.
Eliza Skinner.
With the aforementioned Eliza. I thought she'd been a years ago.
I thought, right. It's 107 comics, and I thought she was. But she was not, and you mentioned her Tumblr.
Yeah.
Where she had a great Tumblr blog today.
She also, she's the head writer of Drop the Mic, I think it's called. It's a spinoff of a Corden bit. She was also a writer on Corden.
Oh, okay.
She's a great writer.
Her set on Corden was hilarious. I swear to God, first of all, the material was so smart and so dark with this sweetness that ran through it.
Yeah.
I was like, this might be the greatest set I've ever seen on television. So it was such a great, I watched it and Andy came out of the other room and he's like, "Who is that?" And I was like, "That is Eliza Skinner." And he was like, "That woman that you shared a room with at Last Comic Standing?" And I said, "No, not at all.
A different Eliza S.
It's a different Eliza.
And, with an E.
She's and an Eliza with an
I. She's so smart. And
Eliza Skinner, it's at Eliza Skinner, I think, right, Kyle?
Yeah. And she also wrote, I forget what the tweet was, but she used the phrase, "one of my writers." And I was like, fuck yeah, fucking women having writers' rooms and they have writers.
Yes.
You know, she ran a room.
Yes.
And she had a team of writers. It was just really cool.
It's.
I hope to see more of that from all of you ladies.
All of you humans. It's, and just calling each other on your shit, too, would be nice.
Tired. What's that mean?
It was something Marcella told me about. She tweeted it at some dude. And, she was like, "I love the diversity in your writing staff." And he texted her and said, "You got to delete that tweet." And she
said, "Who did she say it to?" I can't. You've written so many names now,
right? Everybody. And but it was all straight white guys on his writing staff.
Who's writing staff?
Yeah.
He has a writing staff?
He had a writing staff.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he had a show.
Yeah, he had a show that he was running the room.
Oh,
it was all straight white guys. And Marcella was like, "Hey, don't do that." And she didn't say don't do that. She just said, love the diversity or something like that. And it was super benign.
Right, right.
Right? But he, very guilty, was like, hey, you gotta delete that.
Really?
Yeah. And she was like, oh, I think not. I think not. And but Eliza Skinner is an inspiration to us all. So get out there and see Eliza Skinner do stand-up and follow her at Eliza Skinner with an E.
Yeah.
E-L-I-Z-A.
Yep.
Skinner.
Yep, yep,
yep. Yep. Good times. What else you got?
I don't know.
There's a couple of articles that John Roy has written about long bits for Splitsider.
Oh.
One was a Paul F. Tompkins bit.
Yeah.
And one was a Patton Oswalt bit.
What's it, he's analyzing them?
Yeah. I think he's just celebrating these sort of like 3 or 4 minute bits that a couple of his favorite comics have done. They're interesting.
Like stories or?
Yeah. With Paul and Patton, they're going to be storytelling kind of things. And they're interesting. Yeah, they're interesting articles. They're like, they're nice. They're about comedy and they're about the process. But they're also a celebration of the way these guys write. It's neat. And I texted him and said, hey, don't forget some people of color. Because I'm a fucking meddler. I am in such a...
People of vaginas?
People of vagina color.
Mm-hmm.
If you
people
could find...
Pink.
A pink vagina wrapped inside a brown person. What? No, what are you saying to me?
What are you saying?
I'm saying that I should
it
be put
late.
Down like a rabid animal is what I should be. I should be taken out. I'm so over myself. I can't even express to you.
I am in a creative funk.
Are you?
Yes. I mean, the one like new thing I have, it's like, it's about a hip hop lyric and it's filthy and... I mean, it's getting laughs because it's filthy.
Right.
And I'm like, why am I pursuing this? I mean, maybe I'll need it one night on a Friday Night Late Show, but am I really putting my energy into this? You know,
right.
What am I saying?
But it's, what would you want to write? I mean, if you could write about anything. Like, you do, I mean, there's politics
the death
and I'm
of
tired
President
of it.
Trump.
All right. It's here we are. Minute 35, you guys.
If I wanted to write about something.
Yeah, yeah. No. I his murder-suicide pact. How about that? I know. There's politics that I'm sick of thinking about and writing about just because it's just coming up, right? I mean, there's so much, all of this abuse and all of this political abuse is so bad. You know, the deportation of the Guatemalans and the Muslim thing. Mm-hmm. And it's
Salvadorans.
So El Salvador. Yeah, sorry. Not Guatemalans. It's El Salvadorans, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's so painful that they're the only things I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I write a joke about that, it's so dark. It can't.
Do you? I feel like I'm having normal stress about the news.
Right.
But I don't personally feel it's as painful as something that would happen in my personal life. Are you taking it in like it's happening to you?
I'm taking it in like the bossy fucking Magoo that I am. And I'm like, I got to fix this.
Mm.
And I can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's first of all, if I start marching toward the White House, he's not going to be there.
There is a march on the 20th, I think.
Right. He's not going to be there. He's going to be at a golf course in New Jersey or Florida. No one's going to be there. It's just going to be a skeleton staff because he hasn't even booked half of the gig, right? I mean, there's like ambassadors to countries that we don't even have, right?
There's somebody at work recommended The Slow Burn, which is this podcast on Slate, and it's about it's about Watergate.
Okay.
And they were talking about this, and I listened to this episode with about Martha Mitchell, and she was the wife of John Mitchell.
Oh, okay.
Who was, I think, the attorney general. But anyway.
He was one of the white-collar prison guys.
Yeah. So she was treated. She apparently would drink a lot and start calling reporters and telling them what she heard what her husband's saying.
I love her.
I guess she was like a punchline back then.
Yeah.
And it's crazy drunk Martha Mitchell, whatever. Mm. And at one point, she was held down and drugged. by people and held in a hotel because she was talking so much.
What?
And no one believed her when it was when she, you know, she was released. She was like, they were like, oh, crazy Martha. She's drinking again.
Right.
She was one of the guys that drugged her is now Trump's ambassador to Czechoslovakia.
Holy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So try to write comedy, you guys. And yeah, no. So
I just need in my personal life. Like, is there
anything in that that you want to write, though?
In my personal life?
Yeah.
I don't have a personal life.
Right. You just have your mom and your kid.
Right.
Your mom and your kid, your mom and your kid, your mom and your kid. And you've written both jokes about those guys. I mean, you have
unless they
want to
be
stuff.
My son gets arrested. I really have nothing. I mean, he's, you know, he had a breakthrough
well,
on his flip turns this week. That's pretty good.
Congratulations.
That might not be comedy worthy.
Right. But you did do the cop story.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
new.
I still am tinkering with that.
And that needs to be tightened up, right?
Yes.
But you're like, I mean,
I'm tired of trying to tighten up a story.
Fair
you know?
Enough.
I just need something new to be excited about, and I have nothing. I mean, material wise,
have you thought about going? Yeah, there's not enough. You don't have enough time in the day to like manufacture.
You're not making me feel better.
Well, I'm trying to be sympathetic.
You're not good
working.
At it, so well, stop it. Okay?
Success.
No one believes you.
No one believes that I have any sympathy for you.
Right.
They're
or
correct.
Anybody. You have no empathy.
I am sans empathy.
Except for Salvadorans.
My new empathy joke, Laura House emailed me and said, hey, you know how you think that that's an L.A. job? Guess what? It's an L.A. job. And she sent me a link to how an empath is an LA job now.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, I'm Nostradamus myself all the way. I'm going to bury myself head first in the sand.
Well, will that link add to your bit? Is there anything there?
It pulls the teeth out of it a little bit.
Really?
Which is too bad. Like if it ends up being a task rabbit of, but I think I've got a year. I've got a year.
Here's the thing. We all think people read the same things we read.
Yeah.
But they don't.
No, there's too many things.
Yeah.
And it'll take at least 5 years to make it to Wisconsin for an empath to make it as a job.
That bit is ready for the road.
That bit will kill on the road for at least the next 3 years as I tighten it and make it better. And because I like literally, I think it was 4 years ago, I met my first Wisconsin or Minnesota life coach. Mm. And life coaches have been here for a dozen years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of time for me to work on that bit on the road. But I would like to write. I call my dad. I was like, what do you got? And in the hopes he didn't.
I just wake up irritated and I stay that way all day long. I don't know how to fix it. I'm like, why am I?
Yeah.
It's probably this book stuff. Like if that wasn't happening, you know, there's all this. Like Jess is arranging interview stuff or things, and it's all like, all right, I gotta get up at 6 a.m. that day and pretend it's, you know, and talk to somebody on the East Coast or whatever, and it's all stuff that it's not my favorite thing to do,
right?
You know,
but
and,
it's to move the thing
right,
forward.
But it feels like paperwork. I feel like I'm being I have to do a ton of paperwork.
Yeah,
you know, and really I just want to work on my next joke.
Right, right. Is what can you do?
And it's to sell something I already wrote. I'm like, oh, that thing's done already.
Right.
Like I can barely stand to look at it because it's done.
Right.
But it's not even out yet. You
right,
know?
Right. It's not done. There's one more giant chunk of selling it. So, yeah. It's true.
It doesn't feel good. I don't feel good right now. And it's not a physical thing. I'm just like, everyone bothers me. My mom's always in my space, you know?
Yeah.
My kid doesn't have the commitment to straight A's that I did.
Right. He wants to be an artist. He's art boy. But he also has to learn the rest of it. So is there anything and quite honestly, if you have an answer to this, I'm stealing it. Do you have any way to stop your own irritation? I'm totally stealing that.
I've been writing in the morning, like doing my
okay.
little artist way pages.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do that and meditate, but I've just now that I'm trying to work out with my son in the mornings,
yeah.
it's like I only I I can't wake up at four. Right, you know, right. I can only do so much.
Right. You're going to bed at midnight. You need 6 hours at least.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm no Trump.
Right.
He gets apparently he's very successful on 4 hours of sleep. Really? I think that's a flaw. And I think that explains everything.
It might explain a lot of things. And bleeding off some of it onto the pages.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe I'll try that.
Why are you irritated too?
When you said more than I normal. Wake up if I wake up irritated and stay that way,
mm-hmm.
I wrote that down. I want that to be the title of everything forever. But I don't want to be irritated. Things are good.
Yes.
Right in front of me, decent human beings.
And life is great and we're healthy.
Right.
I mean, some guy, I don't know who this was, they tweeted it, just if you be appreciative if you don't have cancer in your life because it's a monster. So this is he's like a writer for Yahoo. Yeah. Obviously, either himself or someone has cancer in his life.
Right.
I'm like, yeah.
Exactly.
Everything's great with me. Why am I in a shitty mood?
Right. Right. Well, I mean, the decline of Western civilization is sad.
It is stressful.
It is a little stressful to watch somebody shit on the Constitution and then wipe it with the Magna Carta. So, but that doesn't...
A Magna Carta toilet paper in the White House.
I would not be surprised if he broke up the Code of Hammurabi and, like, jammed it up his ass in stone tablet form. I wish he would. But I do think that there's... I mean, this is such... like, I heard so many sets tonight mm-hmm. at this Marcella gig.
Right.
That were women of color speaking about white women and how irritating we are. And they are not wrong. They
right.
are not wrong.
Right,
I am
right.
sitting in a fucking helium balloon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being wafted above all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of it touches me. None of it. And it wouldn't touch me if I didn't worry about it.
What stuff doesn't touch you?
Like, I'm not being deported. I'm not...
Oh, that's... Not even
close family,
right?
I mean, I don't even know anyone who... is an illegal immigrant
mm-hmm.
That is my relative that mm-hmm. will. And it's and so for me, when I look at my friend, like my black friends who get up and they have to wonder if they're going to get pulled over
and have
shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they have happy lives. This is me learning how to do that,
mm-hmm.
to live in sort of a war zone.
Right.
And I have to learn how to live in a war zone and find happiness and find peace. And turns out that is a learned skill. I'm not great at it right out the gate here, is what I guess I'm saying. And it's an irritant. Other than that, I'm also sick of mediocre white male comics, really worried about getting road work because of all this justice going on around them. And they're like, I'm just like, well, fucking work harder. I'm so sorry that you are not as funny as that woman who I've never heard of all of a sudden just destroyed for 10 minutes. And I'm like, you're outstanding. She comes from a weird point, you know, a point of view that we haven't heard.
Mm-hmm.
She is talking about things that are real, her family and her life,
mm-hmm.
like everybody talks about their family and their life.
But her family is totally different from every family we've heard about.
Exactly. So yes. It is.
It's exciting.
It's exciting.
Sorry. A different
so
point of view. Yeah.
Hey, you fucking haircut. Just do something. I don't know what. I don't know how to fix. And the thing is, I want to fix everything. That when a mediocre white guy comic comes up to me and he's sad, I'm like, well, maybe there's something super interesting in your life that you could write about. I'm like, what are you doing? Why don't you write your own papercation?
Why? Let me, a separate question. Why do Please. Mediocre white comics come to you with their problems?
It's an excellent question. Why does anybody fucking come to me with their problems? Because they know that I don't know if they know that I care, or they know that I'll listen, or they know that I will try to fix it mm-hmm. or something. They don't know that I'll try to fix it because people don't want it to be fixed. They just want someone to vent to and possibly be sympathetic. But I'm a big fan of, well, how can we let's get with this? Have you thought about putting away 10% of your income?
Do you do that?
Yeah.
That's great. Since when?
Just for the last 3 or 4 years, since okay. I could afford to, essentially.
Right, right.
But that's not true for the last 10 years, because I've known Andy Ashcraft, who has supplemented this income.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, it's the delight of having... I was.
The listener should be informed that Jackie pointed to herself.
I pointed to myself this income. When I said this income has consistently hovered right around $25,000 a year for the last 30 years. So, and I came from no money, right? I mean,
right.
One of the great things I was. Who was I talking to about being from a big family? Might have been Michelle Balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the great thing about being from a good family, big family, a couple of things. You can be mad at several siblings, and it's okay because you've mm-hmm. got other siblings to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
The other good thing is that if you got 6 kids in your family, there's no money to fight about when they die. Your
right.
parents, there's nothing to fight about.
Right.
And
$25,000 you've been making for how long?
I made that for probably 11 years.
Oh, 11. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the first 11?
Yeah. Like from, I would say, I was working 35 weeks a year in Minneapolis from.
Based in Minneapolis, 90, just driving
based
around.
Based in 90, driving around okay. from probably 90, it would probably be 94 to 97.
Yeah.
And that was $25,000 a year. And then I had a day job that supplemented that.
Yeah.
So I was probably making 12 or 13 in stand-up just...
After taxes and stuff? Like after all your deductions and expenses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was something around there. But I also live with my parents, so I kind of just... As long as I could pay for my blazer, I was pretty okay. But yeah, then when I moved to New York, I had to get a day job.
Right. And then
I
it was that HTML thing.
The magical, I just got in under the wire and was being paid $25 an hour to code. If anyone knows anything about coding, it's just ridiculous for coding HTML.
That's like, awesome.
To making table tags, honestly.
Yeah. What's the name of that?
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver does it for free now. Like you just spend $100.
Oh, you don't even have to do Dreamweaver. You know, Weebly has it all done. You just move icons together and all of a sudden you have
really?
A website. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you like, you can tinker in the code if you are so...
Inspired.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you like to
but
personalize
to...
it, but...
Right. It's, Yep.
God.
There's so much fiddle and diddle going on that I'm trying to stay sane and I'm trying to stay positive. And so many things about my stand-up career right now are so good,
mm-hmm.
and yet it's still not enough. What is that?
It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Weird, like when things are going well, you're like, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't fit. It's like pants that don't fit. Or they fit too well, and you're used to them being too tight.
Mm.
You ever lose a couple pounds and all of a sudden your pants fit great and it...
Nope. Yeah, that's the other thing is I'm not psyched about my body.
Oh, are you doing food
anything?
Stuff? Weird
not,
food stuff?
No. Now, here's the weird food stuff. I had a shake for lunch. And when I say a shake, I'm talking about a vanilla shake.
From McDonald's?
No, from the 101. I had lunch with Michelle Balloon. I had an egg white omelet and then I had a vanilla shake.
That sounds delicious.
It was delicious. I had an egg white with chicken and basil, and then I had this podcast has gone to. What'd you have for lunch? Anyway, so, Kyle?
I wish I had arsenic.
52 minutes.
Oh, we're at 52.
He saw me check my watch.
But I think I have so much road stuff and I'm slightly worried about this upcoming run.
Why?
Because I've rented the car. That's how I've dealt with the fact that I don't know how to use the trains on the East Coast, which are super easy to use. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get that car, go to Governor's, have a car in Governor's, knock out one of these Sunday morning, drive to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, drive back, drop it off at JFK, stay in New York for 3 days, and then I'm going to take a bus or something to Boston.
That'd be great.
Should be pretty straightforward, right?
What weekend are you in Boston?
No, I'm just doing the Friday night, the following a week from...
When I'm in New York, I'm at Providence. I'm going to take a train to Providence.
Oh, that's right.
On the 16th.
I meant to ask you about that gig.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Yeah, so Boston, I think the Wilbur is what it is, the name of the venue that Maria's headlining. She has a new closer. Great. She's a brand new closer.
Is she doing all new material? Like, how much material she's turning over? Because she, I know she's got people coming back, right?
Right, and some of and she does some some of the old stuff, and she does some stuff from her latest album.
Yeah,
but she's constantly writing, and she's constantly working on new stuff. And
are people? What is? How are? When they drop an hour, okay. So I just saw Todd Barry. He was at Sketchfest, and he did a little bit from his Netflix special, and then he did something that wasn't from it. So you can't just do an hour and then all of a sudden have nothing when you're supposed to, when you get hired to do an hour at a club,
right?
I mean,
so sad. Too bad, American public. But I mean, you got to do the old jokes.
Yeah,
I do anyway. But luckily, I'm you know, it's mostly not people.
Like Michelle Wolf just did an hour on HBO.
Right.
The day after that dropped, what did she do? I'm obsessed. I would love to ask her. What did you? Was there a lag time? So maybe you were able to write 15 new minutes between the time you taped it and the time it dropped.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because now she's like a big name. How do you? And same with Ali Wong. After she did her Netflix special, it's like what? How much time was there? And how much time did you have to write new stuff?
I think
you have people coming to see you,
right?
And because they kind of special,
right? And they kind of want to see the hits.
They do?
I think a little bit, not a lot, right? I mean, I've had people say, I don't, you know, just people are like, oh yeah, I heard that one before or whatever, and you're like, yeah, you write a joke. But I mean, it's like, it's so much, but it's, but I think there is enough time. I don't know. And I don't know about the schedule of the Netflix kind of thing, but it did, it's got to take at least 3 or 4 months.
Right.
At which point I think if you are not scrambling to write 15 new minutes, you should be.
Of course you are. And you're probably sick of that hour because you've been running it for a while.
Right. Right. Hopefully. But,
yeah. That
hopefully just... it's a good tight hour that you've been doing for 18 months.
Right.
A year to 18 months. And then. You know, you have 4 or 5 months, you might have 3, but you're like, I at least need 15 minutes of new premises for these people.
Yeah.
Especially if it hits. Like, if you have a Netflix special nobody gives a shit about, is that a success?
Oh,
are you
that's,
psyched?
That's the dream. That's right. The dream.
That's the dream. It's just the credit.
You have you the credit, credit, but no one's seen it, so you can do the material. Unsuccess is the dream.
That's it. Throw it out. And yeah, so yeah, no, that's an excellent question though, because I think it's talk about your quality problems.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that problem.
But that's another thing, when it starts to happen so quickly, then all of a sudden you're talking about being famous or being successful and nobody wants to hear about that.
Right.
I don't think. I think it's a very unrelatable
problem. People barely want to hear about me being unhappy right now.
Outside, it makes me very happy. I'm quite cheered by your distress.
Are you cheered by my irritation and distress? Because I'm sitting in a gravy boat, right? Mm-hmm. And it feels ungrateful to not to bitch at all, except for the fact that it's real. And this is an hour every week. So every week you're going to catch me for 20 minutes where I'm worried about something. Does everyone still like me? No. No, everyone doesn't.
No, they're turning on you, according to you.
According to me, the committee meeting in my brain box is Robert's Rules, and they're just like, now we're going to eject her. And I was like, no, I live here. And so it's bad.
What has – I mean, we started before there was internet, right?
Yeah.
And we were doing it a long time with no social media.
Yeah.
Remember those days? I wonder if we wrote more during the day on the road because there was nothing else to do. I remember, you know, taking my notebooks to a coffee house or a Barnes & Noble, you know, and just bringing a bunch of books to the table and reading and writing and spending hours. I remember doing that when I was in Birmingham at the Stardome.
Nice.
Because I had nothing in common with the headliner. I think the headliner was on like his fourth wife and she was managing him and she was with him on the road. And I was like, oh, this is trouble. They are not going to last. And she wore leopard. Like a leopard skin, not real leopard, obviously, but some sort of jumpsuit that was leopard skin, and she was way younger than him. Oh, I'll tell you who it is.
Yeah, please, because let me tell you something. That guy sounds like a genius. I bet he was writing some real, real unique
come on, not this
comedy.
Guy.
Not this guy.
But you know what? He's a classic.
Oh, Christ.
Come on, he's a classic.
Yeah.
I would love to be able, because that person and guys like that, they do an hour on Netflix, and then Hulu says you want to do an hour, and they would probably try to do the same hour they just did on Netflix. Like, oh, yeah. Not a single new joke was written, and no self-consciousness about it. Hey, man, I got to do my callback.
Have you heard of this guitar comic?
Oh, yes.
Remember that
guy? Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Oh, super nice. Yeah. But here's my thing about this guy.
Yeah.
Really good guitar player, really good joke writer. Mm-hmm. Put them together, all poop. It was the worst. It was
really?
The most scatological piece of nonsense in the world. And I worked with him, and I remember thinking, just play the guitar, just tell jokes, never put them together.
That's weird.
Because he was actually a really fine guitar player. Still working, that guy. All those guys still working.
You know who was great at that? Was Tim Wilson, who died a couple years ago from being on the road, I think. That's my opinion.
Well,
it's a hard life. That guy's driving around all of his gigs and stuff.
Yeah. So sometimes the guys who would write stuff on the road, it was all about what they watched on TV.
Yeah.
Remember the 3 years?
Yeah, that's that
of...
version of being so successful you can only talk about your butler or something. you can only talk about watching what you saw on TV today.
Yes. I'm so sorry. But I just remember like 3 years when everybody kept telling jokes about the scrambled porn, hoping to see a nipple.
Oh, yeah.
I had some version of it myself, unfortunately. But because the girl's gone wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That
it
guy.
There was that. And then there was some sort of fake cable. Like
Cinemax or something like
that,
right?
Yeah, you would go through it if it was pay-per-view. I knew guys who would just tell me at the headliners, I would get to the four wall bar at the Best Western. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what'd you do today? And they're like, I just sat there and looked at the scrambled porn, tried to find something.
What a fucking wasted opportunity. You know, you got to give it to Drew Carey, who just was like, no, I'm going to write myself out of this situation.
Yeah.
And wrote himself a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
He took that time to do that. And Judd Apatow, too.
Yeah. Don't phone it in. Just fucking keep working.
I think you can waste that time now when you're just on the road, but on Twitter or something, right?
Oh,
but at least you're always sort of branding yourself. At least you're still contributing to your career, right?
Right.
But are we done?
I think we're done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
But just finish the thought. Don't leave another cliffhanger.
Dude, I don't. That thought was done. I'm done.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.